Well, delighted to talk to our next guest. We haven't talked to him about the draft. I know his eyes were red and bleary from looking at film, all these guys. But he's also a very special part of the radio station with the Mike Mussinelli Golf Open, which this year will be held at Downingtown Country Club, owned by our next guest, the great Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Ron.
Michael, it is so great to be with you. I know there's been a lot going on football-wise, the Eagles, the draft. The Soul remain undefeated, having won 20 straight games at home. We're talking about your golf tournament at Downingtown. So, hey, a lot of good things happening,
yes,
Mike.
And your voice right now is on television. In fact, I think you're probably in a graphic right now on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So let's talk about the tournament first, and I want to talk about the draft and what the Eagles did, which to me amounts like that to a one-player draft. But we'll get to that in a second. You have been very gracious with us in your support of the Mike Mussinelli Open. And last year was an overwhelming success at Downingtown Country Club, and we're going back to Downingtown. Now, how do we wind up back at Downingtown this year?
Number one, we want you back, Mike. you do a great job with your event. The station does a phenomenal job. Your philanthropic commitment is second to none. So, you know, we wanted to help in any way we can out at the Downingtown Country Club. And the course is in phenomenal shape. We just added a 7,000-square-foot practice putting green right outside the first tee. You know, and people tend to forget, a place like Downingtown, it was a Tom Fazio design golf course. I mean, Gil Hands did the redesign, and Gil did the Olympic golf course in a few years ago, which got rave reviews. So when you think of the Downingtown Country Club, most people don't, you know, really understand the great history that it has, tradition that it has, with those two great designers putting their fingerprints on it, and we just maintained it to their standards. So the course is in great shape. We get a lot of play. And we're once again thrilled to host your event.
Yeah, it is a great golf course, and people raved about it last year, and they raved about your accommodations. I mean, the food that you provide and the accoutrement on the course is really a beautiful thing that you do for us. So we're looking forward to selling it out again. We're in the early stages of selling out these foursomes, so we appreciate your support again. And this year, the proceeds will benefit the Salvation Army, and you know what great work they do.
Oh, Mike, you're absolutely right. They do phenomenal work. And everyone at the station, you know, at Beasley, everyone is committed to making this work. All your partners, all your sponsors, everyone chips in. You know, we make it a day where we can raise a lot of money for the Salvation Army. It's just we all know this area. You know, we've lived here for so long. We know when it comes to helping other people. People in this community always stand up and be counted on. So, you know, once again, we're thrilled to be a part of your great organization and raising this money for the Salvation Army.
All right, Ron, let's talk about the draft and what the Eagles were able to do. Now, I can't argue with the first pick. That kid looks like a really good prospect at tight end, another Dakota guy. But what did you think about the draft and what they did?
Yeah, I normally, Mike, have a very stock line about the draft. Ask me in 2 years.
Yeah,
because some of these guys, you just don't know, you know, how they're going to pan out. There's a 50% failure rate, so I guess they have a 50% success rate as well. But I did like this Eagles draft. I just fell in love with Goddard when they got him. And as I looked at tape on this kid, number one, it's a position of need now with Brent Celek retiring. Now, yeah, you still got Zach Ertz and you lose Burton. It was a position of need going into the draft. But this guy is a very special player. You know, he can play as an inline tight end. In other words, he can line up next to a tackle, and he can move people. He can block. He can line up in the slot and win those one-on-one matchups against a nickelback. And against strong safeties and weak safeties. You know, hey, corners in this league will give them a tough time, but the guys that normally are safeties, he will be able to handle. So it really is, I think, just an excellent draft choice at that spot right there. And, you know, you never really know about the rumors and the stories, but apparently, you know, the Dallas Cowboys were trying to get in that position to draft him. So, you know, we made them weaker with Jason Witt obviously going to retire, and the Eagles got strong. So I really like the pick.
All right, let's look at the guy from Pitt. They didn't really have a slot corner, and this guy is projected to be there. He's never played in the slot, but a little undersized kid from Pitt, but a lot of speed. What do you think of him?
Yeah, again, that is a difficult position to evaluate because the collegiate corners very seldom play any type of press physical style of play. You look at college tape, and I scratch my head because it's predominantly zone. You get very few corners. And I still remember studying Darrell Revis a long time ago, and I was blown away by how good he was because, again, a pit guy that could line up, play press, bump, and run. And you just don't see that when you watch college tape. So this is a pick that, again, I'm not going to say is questionable, but it's one of those that you're going to have. He's a diminutive guy that's going to be in the slot. In today's NFL, now you're getting these big tight ends, the Travis Kelce's and guys like that, and they create some matchup nightmares for the smaller corners that'll play inside.
Okay, so we're not, you're a little ambivalent about that guy. I understand. I have the same reservations. The small guy doesn't fit anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike, when I was thinking of Goddard, I get these random thoughts all the time, and we had Doug Peterson in at NFL Films this year, and Brian Baldwin and I are doing a series called Film Session for the NFL Network. And, we had Carson in, we had Steve Spagnuolo in, and, we had Doug Peterson in for a day. And I got to tell you, I've known Doug a long time, but when we finally had him at the board and breaking plays down and these RPOs and this Eagles offense, I got to tell you, I've been fortunate in my career as a player and as an analyst to be around the great minds of this game, the Sid Gilmans, the Dick Vermeils, the Chuck Knoxes, the Marty Schottenheimers, the Bill Belichicks of doing TV, and, guys like that. Doug just blew me away. I mean, his ability to do unique things, these RPOs, when NFL Network starts showing these, people are going to be, they're going to be scratching their head going, oh my God, this is Einstein type stuff. I never saw Doug, even though I was part of the hiring process, as one of those guys that really, was an outside the box thinker. And when I think of Goddard now, what he can do with this guy and those RPOs and, with Nick Foles and Carson Wentz just reading things to the line of scrimmage, I get excited about what they can be offensively. So there's my random thought.
Okay. Well, let's continue that random thought because we're talking about it today, where they will be next year, where all these teams in Philadelphia will be next year. Can the Eagles, it's very difficult to repeat and win two Super Bowls in a row. Are they good enough right now, in your estimation, to do that?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. This is a really good football team. Not only, are we the reigning world champions, and I still pinch myself as I say that, as I'm sure most Philadelphians do. We are the Super Bowl champions, and this is a quality football team. It's a quality organization right now. There isn't a blemish that I see right now that says, oh, I'm really worried about this. I just don't see it, Howie and Joe Douglas have done a terrific job of building this team. Yeah, there might be a little concern about the loss of Frank Reich as your offensive coordinator. I mean, and there's some things you may search for, but when I look at this team and the roster and the way it's been built and its youth, I think there's a window here now for 3 to 5 years where the Eagles are always going to be in the hunt. Hey, we all know it's hard to win a world championship. It is hard to do that. We don't understand that more than us here in Philadelphia. But this team is now in a strong position to make a run, I think, the next 3 to 5 years. And, I was with Jeffrey Lurie, and we actually played some golf, Mike, so we got stuck around at golf.
Yeah, did you take money? Did you sucker him?
No comment, Mike. No
yeah,
comment.
I know. Yeah. That's not even fair. Right, go ahead.
But it was just, everybody just talking, hey, he's just basking in the success that he's had. So I said, Mr. Lurie, how you approaching the off season? You're playing golf, you're talking. He goes, like we are 8-8, and that was music to my ears. It really was. He said, like we are 8-8.
Yeah. Well, how he seems to have the same philosophy, so that's good if they're not satisfied.
Which is good. There's no one sitting up there on their high horse saying, "Hey, we're the world champions. Uh-huh. This is this is what we do." It's like, hey, we're 8-8. We still have a lot to prove. I just love that answer, So, hey, as thrilled and happy as they are, they're not thrilled and happy because there's more work left to be done to do it back-to-back.
Last question for Ron Jaworski. Ron, would you have taken a 6'8", 350-pound rugby player in the seventh round?
Yes. Mike, I'm telling you, I know I've had a lot of discussions, right?
Yeah. Tell me, you poured over film of this rugby kid.
Well, I did.
Oh, come on.
Go to YouTube. Have your audience go to YouTube. This kid is... Hey, if he doesn't make Eagles, I'm signing with the Souls.
There you go. Well, yeah.
This kid can run. He can pat. He's a beast, Mike. He's an absolute beast. I mean, he's raw as they come.
Yeah, playing offensive tackle, too, Rod, now, mind you.
No, he can play fullback.
Well, all right. Well, maybe they'll have to do that with him. All right, Ron, listen, always a pleasure. We look forward to Thursday, May 24th. It starts at 10 a.m. this year, so I imagine there's going to be some breakfast action going on.
Oh,
for the people.
Of course, man. We're there bright and early for the Mike Missanelli golf outing. It's one of the most memorable in the area. You, your staff, everyone does a great job. The golf course will be in fantastic shape. We'll raise a lot of money for the Salvation Army. And oh, by the way, you know, the Ron's Worst Show will be back next football season every Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic. That's breaking news here.
We're not going anywhere. We love doing the show.
Sounds good. Thanks. Ronnie, appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
You bet, Mike. Thanks.
There he is. That's Ron Jaworski.